Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode, I don't know, I think it's like 222, 223, something like that.
Something like that. Is it a prime number?
Maybe.
Is it bigger than a bread box? Wait, no.
Oh boy.
Does it make sense?
How big's a bread box?
I've never seen a bread box, so I'm not sure.
I used to have one as a kid. Like, not I, but my parents did.
Like, that's like the oldest thing you could ever do.
It was like plastic. Like, I don't know what. Like, my grandmother has like a real bread box.
He also had an ice box.
My
also
grandmother
one of those cars you had to crank up to get going.
Yeah, I didn't have one of those. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Go Patriots!
Oh, yeah. God.
There's game going on right now. Right now. I'm on this show. I'm not watching that game. I'm following it on NFL.com, but I'm here.
Yeah, and they're playing the Jets. Like, that's awesome.
Oh, okay.
It's a two-point game. It's the fourth quarter. We just stopped their try for two after a touchdown.
What is going on?
So it's coming down to an onside kick.
Sometimes they're down by or up by two only to the Jets.
How is Brady doing?
Brady has thrown three touchdowns.
Because that's all I care about because he's one of my quarterbacks.
267 yards, three touchdown passes.
All right, there we go.
Oh, we got a scoop.
No interceptions, no fumbles.
All right, good. Okay.
Yeah, he's doing quite well.
Five. Yeah, buddy.
Did you put out the bat signal?
Fuck. Not yet.
Fozzie is here as well, as is Jeff.
Oh.
Let's talk some games, because I think we actually have a lot of like other discussion to get to tonight.
A lot of stuff. A lot going on.
Yeah. But let's jump into games. Jeff, you weren't on last week, so I had to like give my brief description of Alien Isolation, which I still haven't played a ton more of it. Let's get your take on that.
Well, I didn't hear your take, and I've avoided asking you about it. I want to hear what you thought first.
Well, he's only played like an hour of it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So all he's done is like wander around.
Yeah, so I played a little bit more this week. I think I got up to like chapter 4, chapter 5.
Okay.
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, they get the look of it. Great. They get the feel of Alien. It is amazing looking. Like, yeah, great atmosphere. It looks fantastic. Looks like it's straight out of like that universe.
The sound design too.
Sound design is great. But then I like ran into like so early on. You get onto this station, and they kind of there's like this. They do the tutorial really well. So you run into this guy, and he kind of. He teaches you how to like sneak around and melee people, and then he gets eaten by the alien.
All right.
Yeah, and then you're kind of left on your own. So I'm in my first area on my own, and I go into this room, and there's like a lady. She is up against the door. She's trying to crack into it using like a decoder or whatever. She sees me, starts screaming. I run away, I kind of explore around a little bit more and realize I have to go in that way, but I go in, she's gone. I pick up the decoder and like that triggers her to come back down, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh fuck, so I ran away again. Like, I ran away and then I saved, because this is what I do in like stealth type games. Like,
you gotta be careful with saving in it. I don't know if you've fucked that yet.
Yeah, I learned real quick that this game fucks you, because like I in a game like a stealth game, I like to, you know, make sure I can jump back very quickly to a, you know, clear point. Well, in this, because they're save boxes, you can't just save freely. I kind of fucked myself really early on, like the first fucking encounter, because I try and go back, and now her group has, you know, set up in the middle of this room, and every time you go in they kind of split up, but for you to get where you need to go all the way down this room, up a flight of stairs, and then all the way back down the room again and to the left, and I just could not figure out how to work my way around this. I eventually glitched the game by hiding in a corner and making some noise, and they would come over to me, and I beat them with my wrench. Like, and I was just, oh, this is so, it's like, I did it like 15 or 20 times. And I was getting really, really frustrated. And then, so I killed them all. And, that's what my Amanda Ripley is. She is a psycho killer who kills just about anything. Then you kind of like go on, you explore a little bit more, the atmosphere gets good, you start hearing things above you.
Yeah.
It's really creepy, and then the alien shows up. It's a great scene.
Yeah, he's talking about when he first comes out of the vent.
When he first drops down, and then like you're hiding kind of underneath the desk or the table thing, and the tail pops down and it slides under your leg, and
it's an
awesome scene. And then you're kind of tasked with making your way back and opening that door that lady was opening. A problem is that the alien is supposed to pop into that room where I killed everybody. And those people are supposed to be there kind of distracting.
Broke the game.
Yeah, distracting the alien. So you can kind of like work your way around the room. Well, I killed them all, so the alien only has to focus on me. So I ended up kind of like my first run, I actually have it saved on Xbox, like the clip save. It has me, I try and outrun the thing. Like, I take the alien kind of walks by me, I make a break for it, and I get to the door, and I pull up the scan, and then the alien just kills me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if we're thinking of the same exact scene, but the first time I remember him, it's like he's coming out of this vent up above, and like, all you do, dude, is just go right past him. Don't run, just fucking walk
past him, and
just get away, but then he's gonna be stalking you as you're trying to, like, he's gonna be all over the place, and you gotta just be careful.
As you're, and then you get back to that main room where those people are, you're supposed to get to the door and open the door, and then get on the tram car or whatever it is, and escape to the next area, and I was unable to do that. I did eventually accomplish it, but I was getting really frustrated because it seems very much designed on trial and error. So
yeah,
sounds like so much fun. Sign me up for that.
And it's so it gets it right in so many ways, and then like I broke the game. So it's I don't know, a game like this, I feel there should be a pattern you can kind of memorize. Like,
no, there's no pattern.
Yeah, like the alien is just all over the place. It's not.
I like it more that way, but then sometimes you'll get lucky and like, all right, he's not in the hallway that you need to get through, and then it's just unpredictable that way.
You're still
on it. Like, you can't ever go, okay, he's going to walk that way.
And it will give you, like, if you want to go back and play it again, it'll definitely give you a different experience every time you play it. But I don't know if you guys saw Kevin Van Ord's, if you saw his review of it or the video he posted, where the alien, he's in the room hiding under a table, or he's in the room, he's in another room, and you see the alien walking in front of him, like through the doorway, like the alien's kind of prowling the hallway, and then instantly the alien comes down from a vent above him and kills him. Like, in the next frame, the alien goes off screen, and then instantly he's dead because the alien is awesome. Behind him. So it's like the game kind of cheats a little bit.
Yeah, which I can see that.
I'm not really a fan of that. So,
well, there's definitely times you'll die where you're like, man, I didn't have it coming. But I think for the like terror quotient, like, it's not like I'm afraid, but like it's intense. You're like, this thing's coming.
Anywhere. Yes.
Like, there was a time where I hid in a locker, and I'm like sitting there in a locker, like, and I had been there for like 5 minutes. Like, I heard the alien wander around the hallways, and I was like, fuck all this. I went into a room, the alien never saw me, I'm sitting there in a locker. All of a sudden he comes in the room, he like walks up to the locker, opens the locker, and fucking kills me. I was like, damn, dude, like, you ain't safe nowhere. Like, there's no, you know.
So do you know how to hold your breath?
You can hold your breath?
Yeah. So the game doesn't tell you this, and I still don't know how to do it. I just happened to hear this on Rebel FM, where Arthur Geese, who reviewed it for Polygon, was talking about how he just accidentally stumbled upon being able to hold your breath. But holding your breath diminishes your health, so you can't hold it indefinitely. But like, if you're holding your breath, the alien can't hear you when you're when you're in a locker.
Oh, okay.
Also, it sounds like hiding underneath tables is better than hiding in lockers.
Hmm.
Because if you have to, you can kind of slip out of there. Also, you can craft stuff. Like, you can craft equipment. Like, if you need to craft, like, a noisemaker or something, you can do that under a table, but you can't do anything when you're in a locker.
Hmm.
So. When I was watching Giant Bomb play,
yep.
I thought that was bullshit, because a lot of times, Brad would, like, lose sight of him. He would be hiding in a locker, then 2 minutes later, a robot would just walk up to him.
Oh, yeah, the robots are fucking...
What's the point of the fucking locker if you can't get away from them using it?
Yeah, you're better off just hiding underneath a table or something.
I don't know. That, for some reason, that really upset me. Like, how do they know? Do they have, like, sensories, or, like, they know where you've gone?
Yeah,
really casually just took them out of the locker, and I'm like, well...
You can almost, like, kind of get by where, with the alien, like, they have heightened senses, like, heightened vision, heightened hearing, and, like, a better sense of smell. So you can almost, like, get away with, all right, they kind of just sensed that Jeff was in the locker.
Yeah.
But like, with the androids, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah.
Especially these, which aren't, like, top-of-the-line models.
Cheap, yeah.
They're like, shitty androids.
I like them, though. It's a really interesting
enemy
they came up with.
Yeah.
My problem, like, all right, the game, I like it a lot, Chris, like, but I could see if you're not, like, an Alien fan not loving it. It's very slow, and it's a lot of just, like, pressing levers and shit. Like, it's very, like, old school survival horror of just, like, wandering around, backtracking a lot. And it's like that, like, old school survival horror mixed with, like, really random stealth, you know. But then the other thing I saw a lot of you say the game was too long, and, like, I kind of agree with that at some point, because there's a point, and you're gonna be coming up to it. Like, there's a really intense showdown with the alien where he's, like, tracking you down for, like, an hour or two, and mm-hmm. it comes to, like, this moment that feels like a climax, and then it's really not. And then there is hours after that without the alien. Like I forgot how long, but it's a good chunk of the game that the alien is not there anymore. And you're like, why is this still going on? This is called Alien, right? Like, why am I fucking wandering around the space station doing other shit and, like, dealing with these, like, the working Joes all over the place? But then, and I stopped playing because The Evil Within came out, but at that point, like, I finally did see the alien again, and I was, like, chapter 14 out of 18. So it's, like, getting near the end of the game, and all of a sudden, now the alien is back. But it's, like, it's a really weird, like, really weirdly paced type of thing where, like, you feel like that should almost be, like, the end of the game, and then there's, like, hours of bullshit. And now, for all I know, they're going to do that again. You know, I don't know how long the last five chapters are, but...
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's... I like it a lot. I'm very happy with it. Like, it's kind of what I wanted out of it. You know what I mean? Like, they did not fuck it up, really, but I can't sit there and just tell, like, anybody to buy it. I'd be like, you have to really like horror games, or you really like Alien.
Or really like being frustrated.
I mean, you get past stuff. You'll be fine. Like, yeah, there'll be times when you die for no reason or whatever, but, like, you'll get past it. You know what I mean?
Patriots! Okay.
You just blocked the field goal to win the game.
There you go.
Oh, is it over?
It's over.
Nice. Congrats, you beat a 1-5 team by 2 points.
Excuse me, now they're 1-6.
True. Oh,
yeah. And Rex Ryan's getting fired, buddy. Oh, yeah.
That is also probably likely. Although, I don't know, that Jets front office, like, owner is weird.
True.
Not to change shit into a sports podcast, but let's just throw that out there. Mark Sanchez clearly wasn't the only problem in Jets.
Oh no, there were other issues.
You know what? I think that if Nick Foles were to fall down and die, Mark Sanchez would run the offense and the Eagles perfectly fine.
Probably.
I'm just saying.
Probably, you know, like Matt Castle, he took over Tom Brady and they weren't as great, but serviceable.
They went 11-5 that year.
Yeah, and they still made the playoffs.
They didn't make the playoffs. It was the, they were the first 11-win team to not make the playoffs.
Oh, they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
How does that work?
There were a lot of teams with a lot of really good records that year. Yes, I think
Cardinals.
I think
10-6.
Yeah, and there were a bunch of 12-4 teams.
Also, yeah.
They didn't win the division. I think the Dolphins won the division.
Well, there we go. Made history there.
That's right.
Jeff, tell us about the other horror game plan. I'm kind of interested in this one.
Yeah, I mean,
I wasn't interested in Alien. But.
I went into Evil Within just going, it's a horror game, I'm going to buy it, you know?
Right.
And it's the guy that made, like, the Resident Evil games. It is very, very, very much Resident Evil 4, except, like, completely removed from any semblance of sanity that game, or those, you know, Resident Evil games might have had. Like those games were, like, ridiculous, but, like, at least you understood that there's a virus, there's, like, zombies. Like, this, it's, like, I couldn't tell you what the fuck's going on. Like, the very beginning of the game, you're a cop, you get called to a mental hospital because there's been, like, a multiple homicide there, and you walk in, you walk into, like, a room, you look at a security feed, and you see, like, cops running through the place, you know, like, in other parts of the fucking hospital. And then you see this dude, like, it looks like the zombie Assassin's Creed dude show up. Like, he's, like, wearing a robe, and he, like, moves so quick that, like, you can't even see him move around. He, like, stabs all the cops. Then he comes up and stabs, like, behind you and stabs you. And you're like, what the fuck? And then, like, from there, it's just, like, I don't know, like, just, it makes no sense, dude. You're just going into different fucking scenes. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, dude. Like, you're fighting, it's like a lot like Resident Evil 4, but it's just like, you'll like beat a level, and then you'll go back to the mental hospital, like that's your like hub area, and then you'll like look at a mirror, and then you'll go into another area. It gives it like some variety. Like, I wish there was a little bit more variety so far, but like, you know, as far as environments and stuff, because like,
right,
it's not attached to any sort of cohesive narrative at all. It makes no sense. Like, I don't know what's going on, but it's really fun. I mean, if you liked Resident Evil 4, it's like the gameplay itself is very similar to that. I feel like you don't have as much ammo as you maybe did in those games. Not that you had a lot of ammo in Resident Evil 4, but
right.
I feel like there's less here. But it's like, dude, a lot of it is the same. Like, the very first boss you fight is a giant dude with a chainsaw who will kill you, like, and who, like, if you let him touch you, he'll kill you. And, you know, just hitting him with one grenade or whatever is not going to be enough. You need, like, all your firepower for this guy, you know what I mean? And, like, I just ran into him again, actually, and I had, like, nothing. Like, I had, like, four, you know, bullets for my sniper rifle and two shotgun shells, and somehow that was enough to take him down this time because I've been upgrading my guy. But, yeah, I don't know how to, I mean, dude, there's not much to say except that it's very, very similar to Resident Evil 4. But it's good. It's, like, really good and really intense. Like, the first boss battle, man, I was running around for 45 minutes while this motherfucker chased me around because I had no, like, ammo or anything. Well, that's the cool thing about the game. Like, that's one thing that's different is there's, like, traps all over the environment, like, that are already there. Like, there's, like, levers you could pull and spikes will come up. So the first time I beat him, I had, like, no ammo and shit, and all I was doing was running in circles and getting this guy to walk over, like a part of the room where I knew their spikes were, and I kept, like, pulling this lever to get, like, the spikes to hit him, you know?
That sounds like really old-school game design. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's, like, really intense, though, because you're like, dude, I don't have nothing. And, like,
right.
I think at one point, finally, like, I had hit him with those spikes a couple times, and then I did find, like, you have a crossbow in it, and, like, you get all these different bolts for it, like, explosive bolts, like, flashbang bolts, I think shock bolts, and I finally found, like, an explosive bolt, and, like, he was, like, 10 feet away from me, and I hit him with one, and like, it'll stick to him, and it'll be like, beep, 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 and he started walking up on me, and I was stuck in a corner, and I was like, fuck, dude, and it blew up, and he died, he dropped and died, and like, I almost died, I had a sliver of health left, and that's how I beat the first boss. I was like, holy shit, dude, and that was after like 40 minutes of him chasing me around. Like, that was, like, very intense and very satisfying once I beat him, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say other than don't go in with, like, super high expectations. I think you'll like it a lot. Like, unless you really, really hate, like, the Resident Evil 4 design. Like, it's way better than Resident Evil 5 and 6. I'll say that. But it's very, very similar to Resident Evil 4. It's not going to feel like the early Resident Evils or like Alien or anything like that. It's more action-y, I guess.
So how does the game look? Because I've heard it's not exactly a looker.
I mean, it looks like Resident Evil 4. Like, I don't know. Like, that's kind of a bad thing, right? Like,
right, because that was a GameCube game, so.
But I think that's kind of a testament of how I think that game still looks pretty good for how old it, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I would have to agree that the graphics aren't amazing, but, you know, the lighting and atmosphere help a lot. And it doesn't look like, I don't think it looks like terrible, but there are points where the color kind of goes out of it. Like, there's certain things, like, when you're in the hub world between levels, it's like everything's kind of grayish, and then I think it does look like shit. But yeah, it's not like it's not gonna win graphics awards or anything.
But it's serviceable enough that
it's not shitty looking. It doesn't look like a budget game or anything. Like,
right?
You know,
just got you. All right.
I'm having a hell of a lot of fun with it. It got me to stop playing Alien, so there. Better than Alien confirmed.
All right. If you're gonna buy a horror game, buy The Evil Within then. As for Jeff.
I mean, go with your gut.
Seems like a lot of games you've been playing recently. I don't trust it.
I mean, I'm telling you exactly what it is. Like, if you like Resident Evil 4 and you like kind of like an action horror game like that, you'll like it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. I liked GoldenEye back in the day, and if you were to give that game to me now, it would suck.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that Resident Evil 4 sucks now, and I would say that this does have some improvements over Resident Evil 4, like just simple shit, like you could fucking aim and walk at the same time and stuff like that. And it's got, like, a lot of cool, like, I think Resident Evil did have upgrade mechanics, but I think this is, like, a lot deeper. Like, you could upgrade your guy in all sorts of crazy ways, and I don't know. There's little things, I think, that they've built upon it, but... But yeah.
Cool. Fozzie, you said you played a new game.
I did. It was a free game.
Free? Free's the right place.
Well, it was one of the PS Plus games that came out. It's called Pix the Cat, I think. Yes. Pix the Cat. let's see. What game? It kind of reminds me a little bit of Pac-Man-ish. It has that Pac-Man feel, and I think Choo Choo Rocket, I don't know if you guys played that on the Dreamcast, kind of has that feel to it, too. It's fuck like... It's like if, what?
Nothing.
Okay. if those two games had, like, a little baby, that would probably be Pix the Cat. It's pretty simple. There's these... I don't know, are they ducks or something? They're in little hatchling eggs. You have to pick up the eggs and you have to put them in the holes. But you can't go over a hole before you pick up all the eggs or you lose your combo. And it's all about getting the highest score. And it sounds stupid or it sounds like it doesn't seem interesting, but it's a very, you know, again, it's all about high scores and kind of like trying to beat your friends. So. It's very complex as far as that goes. And the thing that really sucks about it is that you can't stop the cat. So it just keeps going along no matter how hard you try to slow it down or whatever. And especially in the later levels, it can get pretty fucking difficult. And you can kind of, if you lose focus for a second, you can get really fucked over in that game. But yeah, I mean, again, if you have PlayStation Plus, it's a fucking free download. So you have absolutely nothing to lose. I would recommend it. If you like Pac-Man or, again, Choo Choo Rocket, you'll have fun with this. I don't really know what else to say about it. The art style is really cool.
Is this on PS4? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vita as well, if you have I think. Pretty sure. I'm sure it looks great on the video as well. But yeah, it's got a very nice, like, stylized. Kind of looks like a, what was that, Pac-Man DX? Like, just a lot of funky color in there. And yeah, it's, I think it looks great. So, yeah. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, there you go.
I may have to try that out.
Yeah.
I do like Pac-Man.
It's free, right?
Yeah. It is free.
Right. If you can play it for free, I mean, yeah, there's no risk there.
Yeah. Like, there is. It sucks, I can just delete it.
Right.
And then come on here and yell at Fozzie for
perfect
telling me
10 minutes of my life.
Damn it, Fozzie.
I don't know. I don't. Is PSN up yet? Because it's been down.
It's been down all day, right?
Yeah, it's been down all day. And then there was a maintenance on, was it Monday?
Monday, Thursday? when everybody was off work at home. Like, oh, let's maintain our network on Monday.
On a holiday.
Yeah. Makes a whole lot of sense.
Brilliant.
I really thought that one through. Somebody tweeted at me, it's because they were launching a PlayStation TV the next day. And again, they didn't think it through.
Right. Not at all.
Like, it's great that they're launching PlayStation TV, but you can't, like, screw your consumers.
Well, apparently you can.
Apparently you can.
I love how apparently Drive Club has not, like, worked since launch, and the version that was like promised fucking forever
a year ago.
It was, right.
This was supposed to be a launch game too. Like, that's what's like. I mean, it's crazy that it doesn't work. That, like, they're still not getting this thing going.
Embarrassing. Like,
but this was supposed to be a launch game.
Yeah, I, like, went to, like, I hadn't heard nothing about it. Like, I went to go download it. I'm like, where is this thing hidden on PlayStation Plus? And finally, like, I, like, went and Googled, and I was like, I just kind of laughed. It's like, it's typical Sony, man.
Yeah, right?
Don't play this, please. Please don't play.
I haven't played anything new, so.
I have.
What do you got there, Tony?
I played Sherlock, Crimes and Punishments.
You're doing the review for that. So,
okay. They sent me a review copy, and I was excited to play this game anyway, because it bears some resemblance to, like, the Sherlock BBC TV show.
Okay.
Where it has Sherlock will at times be face to face with a person and, like, you'll be able to, like, look at them and, like, see all of their, like, how are their hands, what are their clothes they're wearing, and he'll draw all these obscure conclusions based on that, and it's kind of cool to watch that. But I played through the first case in the game, which is a guy who's been pinned to the wall in his shack with a harpoon, and obviously he's no longer alive, so you have to figure out who killed him and why. It's a classic adventure game, wandering around,
right,
walking up to stuff and, you know, seeing this. There's a lot of puzzle solving, so you'll like identify a scent by and have to, like, go through this grid and figure out where everything fits, and once you do that, it'll tell you what the scent is. Occasionally you'll have to, like, break into a lock, and there'll be some, like, puzzle solving elements there. There are also some quick time events. Near the end of the case, you end up at a point where you end up in a fist fight, and the tutorial pops up, because you've never been in a fight before. So the tutorial pops up, and I accidentally hit my thumbstick, and then the tutorial disappeared before I had a chance to read any of it.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what the controls were. So I get the crap beat out of me, and I end up missing out 30 gamer score. Because I had no idea what the controls were
for losing your fight.
For losing the fight, yeah, because I had no idea what to do. it was a lot of fun. You go through, you find all of the clues, and then you know, you can use Sherlock's special ability to deduce things that other people can't see. But once you put all the clues together, you can start putting them together, and you yourself do this. You build the deductions that determine who's guilty at the end. And actually, you can end up accusing the wrong person.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Or you could do it on purpose. So I've heard that there are cases later on in the game where the person who's actually guilty is someone you don't want to be guilty. Like there's somebody else who more deserves to go down for the crime. And you could build your deduction so that actually happens.
Okay, but
so there's a morality contingent.
So that person might not be guilty for the crime, but you feel right. They're more deserving, so you
of kind being of punished. So you rig it so that
interesting.
Yeah, so I didn't do that with the first case because the guy who was guilty actually seemed to be guilty. But if you like missed some of the facts as the case went along, you might not be able to deduce that the guilty party was the person who should go down.
Okay.
But you'd have enough facts to accuse someone else. Of course, it being, 19th century England, they would then be hanged for the crime. So.
Huh.
I thought it was a lot of fun. It took me probably 2 hours to get through the first case. And there are 6 cases in the game. I'm assuming the first case was more like the tutorial case, so it'll get harder as it goes along.
Right.
But I'm excited to play through the rest of it. It was a lot of fun. I also haven't played an adventure game in a long time, so it's kind of a treat to play something different from what I normally play.
Cool. I am looking forward to playing that. I did not pick it up over the weekend, but I'm hoping it'll go on sale again. So.
Yeah, you got... Steam sales are incoming.
Yeah.
So
they are imminent, that is for sure. So
every sale ever, in fact. So that we can get all these games that we skipped.
Yeah. That we still don't have time to play.
I'm like NBA 2K15. I really want it. Can't play it yet, so I'm gonna wait till it's on sale.
That's probably a good
also till they fix the servers.
Or the servers busted for that game too? Jesus.
They're borked, yeah. People are having issues with not only the face scans, but like it's deleting their data and that kind of thing.
Speaking of borks, like servers and problems with new games, Jeff, you were having some issues with Alien. Did you ever get that fixed? Or did Jeff leave?
Jeff died.
Yeah, he went to do stuff.
Ah. Oh, well. I was,
all right,
I was...
Jeff is snorting cocaine, so we're going to have to move on to something.
That's a shame. That's probably why he feels like he's having a heart attack, though.
Yeah. Jeff, put the cocaine down. You'll be all right.
Yeah, next week I'll have a... have Harmonix's Disney Fantasia.
So
I'm going to be playing that. Which is like the second big Kinect game, I guess, this year. And maybe like the third overall.
What was the first one? Sorry.
Well,
Dancing Game of some sort?
Yeah, Dance Central was earlier this year. But I guess Zoo Tycoon, like that utilized the Kinect. I did not utilize it when playing Zoo Tycoon.
Yeah, I didn't use it when I was playing.
But you could. Like, I guess you could feed animals and shit, like, using it.
That's true. I remember making faces at chimpanzees. Actually, didn't I claim back when it came out that it was the one game that actually felt like it put the Kinect to use?
Yeah, at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
And Kinect Sports came out earlier this year, too. Kind of forgot about that, though, because it was just okay. I don't think we'll see much more in the way of Kinect games, though. So, but
oh boy, I kind of feel bad for them because like it seems interesting and you know the promise was always from the get go we're not going to abandon the Kinect. We will pretty much revolve our system around it, and now I use it just to turn it on, and if I'm feeling really lazy, switch between games and stuff.
Movies? You don't use it for Netflix?
I pause all the time with it.
My Netflix experience with it has never been good.
I will say, actually selecting a movie on Netflix is now really annoying with Kinect. especially since they upgraded the version.
Yeah.
Like, now it tends to time out while you're, like, waiting for it to cycle through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but is that... That's the Netflix app itself, right? Like
yeah.
It has you, like... It's just a shitty interface, because it actually works really well yeah. with Amazon Prime Instant Video.
It does. It does. Like,
regular Xbox Video. Yeah, Netflix is... It's... I'd rather use the controller for that.
I don't understand why Netflix is just so behind with it. I would say, like, Xbox, you know, go to Netflix.
Right.
But the time I use it, it just... It's weird, because sometimes it will say, like, okay, now I can do, like, select one, select two, things like that. But then other times, that screen won't pop up, and it'll say, we can't do that, or something like that. It's just, I've never had a consistently fluid, like, you know, experience with at least the Kinect portion.
Sure. I very much say Xbox Pause, Xbox Play.
That, yeah, that I'll use it for.
All the time. Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, no, that's...
And also turning it off. Yeah.
It's actually really nice. Like, I almost, like, I sound like I'm complaining about it, but I kind of, you know, it's only $100 more, and I actually use that a lot, and it seems lazy, but it's pretty cool, and, you know, it's pretty neat, and when it's one of those things, though, that when it works fucking fantastic. And,
oh, yeah. When it doesn't, it's so annoying, like...
Oh, God, it's like, I gotta be a peasant and actually turn on my controller to move stuff? Ugh.
Like, yeah, Sunday night, I watched Walking Dead, so it was like, Xbox, watch it, AMC, and please don't do that now.
God, it went to TLC, you fuck.
It went to something shitty, and it was like, no, damn it, now I have to find the damn... Because I don't have time to, like, sit here and wait for it to understand me.
Yeah.
It's like I had to, like, find the controller and, like, work it. But most of the time it gets it right. Like, unless you start getting down into, like, ESPN2 or HBO2 or whatever. Like, if as long as you're using the regular stations, it's mostly pretty right. I guess as long as I'm not mumbling.
The only thing I use... Kinect 4 is Xbox Record. That's it.
Oh, and that too. Yes.
All the time.
That's cool. It's an awesome feature. I don't know. I could probably do without the Kinect, though, to be honest, because I don't have cable hooked up in my room, so I don't use it for shit like that.
Right. That it seems like it's very useful if you like have your TV hooked up to it. I think.
I will say that kind of like random side note. Getting achievements for watching Netflix is fucking amazing.
Right.
Oh my god, dude. The first time it happened, I forgot what it was. Oh, it was because I'd watched Netflix every day for like 2 weeks or something. And then, like, Monday I had off, and I laid in bed and watched all the first season of Orange is the New Black. Like, I didn't move. And all of a sudden, like, we're like 10 episodes in, and all of a sudden, like, achievement unlocked. One more episode. I was like, fuck yeah, dude, that's awesome. Like, I got it rewarded for doing nothing. Like, sweet. That's fucking amazing.
Except you didn't get any gamer score.
Yeah, but it there is just that, you get that bloop on the screen, and it's like, awesome. I do wish that you get points, though. Yeah, there's no points.
It doesn't add to anything, it just kind of is a little thing that's there.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they had associated some sort of points, maybe not gamer score, but like Xbox points or whatever, and just, like, you could still have your gamer score off on the side, but then, like, overall Xbox points would include the... like the entertainment stuff. That would have been neat, but
I wish there were points attached, because now there's like a financial bonus to getting to 75,000.
Is there?
For Xbox Rewards. So if you're a Xbox Rewards member, you get a 2%. It's like 2% back, and goes up to 4% or something when you hit that 75,000.
I got some, like, so I had a. I had like $30 in, or it was like $32 or $33 in like Microsoft money on my account, and I went in on, I guess it was like Tuesday or Wednesday, and for some reason I had $65.
Yeah, they deposited. I think that was the last time they deposited stuff.
Like, and there was, I know there was some promotion running through Xbox Rewards, through like August and September, maybe it was like through July and August, where for every like $60 you spent on anything in the store, like they were giving you something back. So I think that promotion ended. So I got like a nice $30 lump credit into my account, which is kind of sweet. Well, so
you always get something back whenever you buy something. There's always a like a certain percent you get back.
Right.
Right now, there's like if you buy 3 games, you get $20 back. So I'm at 2 games now. So I have to buy something, some $60 game at some point.
Nice. What's the time frame on that?
It's to the end of November.
Oh, Jim, I'm definitely going to hit that. Probably twice.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, if I can't find a game to buy by the end of November, I'm not trying very hard.
So Jeff, before you you left, and I wanted to know about your issues with Alien installing and uninstalling and...
Oh, it's not Alien. It's every new game I buy.
Ah. So was there a solution to that? Or
The only solution I've been able to come up with is I just, like, completely power off my Xbox and turn it back on.
It's so weird.
Like, what it'll do is...
Weird, yeah.
I get a new game, I put the disc in, it installs, and, like, I'm to the point where I'm, like, so paranoid now, even if it says ready to start, I just wait. I just wait, do nothing. Then when it's done, it'll say, like, ready to play, right? Or whatever, or just play. And then I'll click it, and then it'll say queued, and then it'll say installation started. And I'm like, dude, it's installed. What are you doing? You know what I mean? And then I'll, like, turn the Xbox off, like, you know, just, like, console off, and then turn it back on. And then I'll click on the window to play the game, and it doesn't do anything. It clicks on it, and it's just like, bing, and does nothing. I was like, okay. So I'll just turn it off completely or unplug it, and then... restart it, and then it works.
Huh.
Like, it happens with every single fucking game that I buy.
That's crazy.
It's you know, and I'm sure there's, like, an explanation for it. And then, I ask Xbox support, and I'm like, that's weird. I'm like, come on, man. You can tell me you haven't heard this from, like, thousands of people already that, like, that happens? Like, come on, man. I have so many fucking problems with these new systems. I swear to God. Less so with PS4 at this point because I haven't played it much, but...
Right. Well, I mean, you can't really chalk that one up.
Did I tell you what happened with the PS4 where, like, it would not accept a disc?
No.
All right, so the only disc-based game I have for PS4 is Last of Us, and I played probably half hour of it, but the first time I'm playing it, I'm in the middle of a level... All of a sudden, it spits the disc out at me. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you know, and I get thrown back out to the, I don't know what they call it, but the dashboard or whatever. I go to put the disc back in, and it's sitting there. It's, like, forcibly, like, shooting. It won't let me even put the disc in. I'm like, what the hell? So, and I Googled around and stuff, and the way I had to fix it is, like, you could start PS4 in safe mode, and then, you know, reset to whatever, default settings or whatever. I did that, and then, like, it worked again. I was like, why? Just make your shit work. Are you kidding me, man? Like, if I wanted another PC, I'd buy it. Like, your gaming console, like, I should be able to put a disc in and play it. Like, what the fuck, dude? And that's another reason I sold fucking Destiny. I was in the middle of doing one of the very last story missions. Also, it's like, your connection to the server has dropped. I'm like, you fucking assholes. Like, I'm trying to give this game a chance, and you'd pull this shit on me. I mean... And I guess that's the fault of having to be connected online, but it's like another thing where it's like, fuck this, you know? I'm done, and I fucking sold it, and I got like most of my money back, so that's pretty cool.
Old man Hefe doesn't like the online.
I'm not playing with anybody online. What, you know what I mean? What the fuck, dude? Like, let me fucking finish the mission or whatever. Like, it pisses me off, man. And that game was like, you know, it was fun when I played it, but I was, like, kind of forcing myself a little bit, and then that happened. I was like, you know what? Fuck you. See you later.
It's fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is especially with digital copies, is that you're kind of just stuck with it. So, well, deal with it. But that's nice that you get hard copies still.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I've never been a guy that, like, you know, I've always kind of held on to my games, because I'm an asshole, or not an asshole, but... Well, yeah, I'm an asshole, but still, like, I'm one of those guys that as soon as I get rid of a game, I'll be like, oh man, I'm gonna play that game now. Fucking
yeah.
I get that syndrome a fucking lot.
The only game I've sold this year, I want to say, is Destiny. Everything else I've kept.
You sold Destiny?
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff. Jeff.
I don't blame you, dude. What level? Did you get the 20?
I was at level 19, and I was doing one of the last story missions, and I did the server thing, and I was like, you know what? I wanted to get to level 20. I wanted to do at least all the story missions. But if you're going to pull shit like that after I've put, you know, half hour into beating a mission, and all of a sudden you decide to drop me, you know, no fault of my internet connection, by the way. It's just fucking shitty server bullshit.
If you can get dropped like that, it'll put you back mid-mission. There are checkpoints.
Yeah, well.
Hey, you know what's fun?
Not anymore for Jeff.
Yeah. Not for Jeff.
Fucking back in like 2000, 2001 when we had 56K modems, and I would get dropped playing my hardcore fucking character and lose 60 hours. That was fun too.
Online gaming.
Video games.
Video games.
Tony, we got some news?
We got lots of news. I think we should start, though, with one of the questions Justin sent in. We should start with that.
Okay. Did you want me to say it or?
Yeah, you can go ahead, Fozzy.
Okay, sure. So Jushin asks, can you simplify Gamergate? I'm assuming that's what I was trying to say. I thought it was about a female gaming journalist dating a developer. Now I have no idea. That was very wrong in so many ways.
Well, I can see how he would make, like, there were two things that set it off. The first was this developer of a game called Depression Quest named Kelly Quinn.
Zoe Quinn, sorry.
Oh, wow. I had a girl in high school who was named Kelly Quinn. I just made that.
You had a girl.
Anyway.
Which is delicious.
So she was working on this game and dating this guy. And apparently some stuff happened between her and this guy, and he ends up posting this article online which alleges that she cheated on him a bunch of times, and one of those times happened to be with a reporter who worked for Kotaku. And this reporter subsequently, according to this blog post, published a favorable review of Depression Quest, which, you know, propelled her to whatever success that she got from Depression Quest, and was like an indication that the gaming journalism was corrupt in some way.
No.
Now, there are a couple of problems with that whole situation. Number one being Depression Quest is a game that is free, so she can't get any money from it. Number two, there is no review of Depression Quest on Kotaku, and the person he alleges,
any of that part.
the person he alleges wrote this article never actually wrote anything about Depression Quest.
Yeah.
So
he has actually though.
He wrote it before he knew her. So it's kind of a
Tony's dug deep.
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those situations where this whole situation is made up in his head. So a lot of people took that as the starting point. Okay, we need to fix gaming journalism. Let's hop on this. Now, she got a lot of backlash from that. And while she's getting all that backlash, a woman whose name I'm forgetting right now.
Sarkeesian or something like that.
No, not her.
Oh.
It was a reporter who wrote an article declaring the end of gamers.
Oh, no.
Lee Alexander.
Lee Alexander. So she wrote an article declaring the end of gamers, and this was the first of a series of editorials on several different websites.
Yeah, she wasn't the only one to
No, no. She became the poster child for it because she was first, and I think also because she was female.
It's distinctly possible.
So this became like these two events were, you know, watershed battle cry. Let's hop in there and destroy these people. So there was a group of people who then took it upon themselves. They started on the site 4chan. They've since had to move on because they've actually become too controversial for 4chan, which I didn't think was possible.
It is.
And they've organized a campaign of harassment and of actually sending calls and emails to sponsors of the websites that these people wrote for. So, for instance, we talked a couple weeks ago about Intel dumping Kotaku, I think.
Gama Sutra.
Gama Sutra, right, because Lee Alexander writes for Gama Sutra. Dumping them because they had received so many calls and emails about the controversial stuff that was going on Gama Sutra. So that's pretty much it. So at that point, you have this group of guys who see these two events, take it upon themselves to then start threatening and harassing and sending all kinds of tweets and emails and threats, and it finally blows up.
It's kind of morphing this thing bigger overall too.
With the utter blatant stupidity that happened with Anita Church.
It's like no, but they've lost sight of anything that they wanted in the first place.
Well, I think the problem is you have like two. So you have these crazies that are off on one side, and then you have people like kind of joining in the rallying cry of like gaming journalism is corrupt, and like they're not really paying any attention to the.
Right.
Hey, we hate women side of this thing.
Right.
Which has become like a much bigger side of it, it seems right. like. Or that's
well, it's about. The side that is much more talked about.
It's the side that the anti-Gamergate people have decided to...
Uh-oh.
You know?
Well, I think I made the point earlier today on Twitter that a lot of this is gaming journalism is focusing the conversation on the misogyny. They don't really want to talk about themselves.
Right. And so I was listening, and this was something I found really interesting was, the guys from Giant Bomb kind of like took a little kind of side note and like talked about it a little bit, and Brad was kind of really getting into like you know ripping into these guys, and I could totally see why. Like, he is friends with some of these people, like he knows some of these people, like and you know you're seeing them get harassed and.
Sure.
Quit this, like, and I could totally. And Jeff was kind of like, "Okay, but Brad, like, you are doing exactly what these people, like, you are saying that these people are subhuman, but you are treating them exactly like they are, like, you're doing exactly the same thing on the reverse end of it." And it's like, and he's like, "You know, I didn't think like that maybe some of these people are actually just they're actually people and." Like, it's like it. Everyone gets so their mind gets so clouded, and there's so much hate, and they're just throwing shit at each other.
Right. I think the big problem is you end up with these two sides now, and they're having completely different conversations. So the one side is like, "You guys are misogynists. It's awful. How can you do this?" And the other side is like, "What? I'm just trying to reform gaming journalism. What the hell are you talking about?"
Well, the other thing that like kind of cracks me up about all this, and maybe I'm wrong, but like I kind of assumed that the whole industry was corrupt and they're all fucking each other. Like, I that came as no new. Oh, really? They're fucking like developers
like,
and
every industry
other?
Is like that.
Yeah,
it's unavoidable. These are the people you deal with on a day to day basis. These are the people you have friendships with, and now if you look at like the American Work Week, and you know, people only meet the people they work with.
Yeah,
what are the options that they have?
Another thing about that too is it would almost bother me if it was like, you know, someone who was covering the White House was fucking the president. This is fucking video games. I don't care. You know, he gave him a fucking 8 out of 10 because they fucked.
Well, it's people taking, you know, this trade way too seriously, and they're like...
That's the thing. The thing is that,
you know, there are people that depend on these reviews. So
if
they feel that it has been tarnished, I mean, I can kind of see why they get upset about it.
Like, there are developers whose payouts will depend on Metacritic scores.
Right.
Like, and if your livelihood depends on that kind of crap, then that stuff matters.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
but still, so doesn't matter to me. I feel like when you're equating these two things, you're talking about somebody receiving death threats Sure. Like, people bringing guns to events where they're supposed to speak versus something which is a little more nebulous and more difficult to fix. Like, one of these is an immediate problem.
Oh, yeah. Like, my end of that, though, is, like, what do you want me to do? Like, I don't want anything to do with these assholes.
Right.
You want me to, like, yell at them, and what does that solve? Because they're not going to listen to me.
Right.
And it's like, we can all stand here and yell at them. Guess what? You're yelling into a black void of the anonymous internet. Like,
right. They just switch. You ban them from Twitter. They just switch handles. I mean,
right.
There is no winning against those guys.
And they're back with, like, you ban them from Twitter, and they're back with four handles. Like, it's like,
right.
they multiply.
unless. I mean, I would hate to say this, but the only way to really stop this kind of thing is for the federal government to put together a task force that, like, hunts these guys down when they're making these threats and throw them in prison. And do we really want to go that route?
Get the government involved? No, thank you, sir.
Well, they're already doing it. Like, they're already cyber task force, like, looking at this kind of stuff.
And they've made, like, legitimate terroristic threats against people. Like, sure. Those are crimes. Like, those are actual crimes. Like, I mean, like, you want to slut shame somebody or whatever. It's not right, but there's no law against that.
Right.
But there are laws against you, like, threatening people's lives and saying you're going to come and cause, like, the biggest school shooting massacre ever, which is what, you know, recently happened. What's it? Was it Utah State University? Or?
Yeah. Well, they were. It was. They were threatening to reenact the Montreal Massacre.
Yes.
Where they killed like 25 people.
And that's the thing, is this whole Gamergate thing is kind of merged with stuff that was already happening. Like, that Anita girl has been getting threats since back in the day. Like, since she started doing her vlogs on it. And, like, and from the very beginning, like, to me, it's just so sad that, like, whether you agree with her or not, like, why do you have to threaten her? Like, is she that threatening to you? Like, and what all she's saying is fucking.
You give her more power when you do that.
You know, all she's, you know, and it's like these people are threatened by girls playing games. Wouldn't you want girls to play games? Like, I don't get it, man.
To me, it makes, like, I want everybody to play games.
Yeah,
because that means more games for me.
Exactly. Exactly. I have more choice.
Like, and maybe they don't want to play the same games as I do, but as long as there are more of us playing, there's always going to be a variety. Like, I don't think Jeff and I have ever had a problem finding a movie that we want to watch.
Right.
And that's because everyone watches movies, so if everyone plays games, then there's going to be games for everyone.
Everyone gets
games. That would be great. I've seen some of the, you know, I've been, like, watching some of the new stuff lately, and it's like, she's saying that these guys are threatened, like, they want games to be, like, the way they envision it, like, you know, you go and kill people, they don't want more thoughtful games. It's like, I kind of like all different types of games, so fuck all you assholes,
and,
man.
And we can still, we can still have the games where they're more thoughtful, or we can have, like, the mindless games that, like, where you just go and kill people. Like, there's nobody saying that people won't make them.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny how you look at, like, you look at literature and you look at movies and you're like, there's been, like, feminist criticism of that stuff for years, and we still get the idiot movies where you don't have to think, you can sit down and watch.
Yeah,
there's still, like, trashy romance novels out there, and, you know, the stupid John Grisham stuff.
And that's the, like, thing I love, too. It's, like, the criticism that she's doing, it's the exact same criticism that, like, the feminist critics will do in movies. It's exactly the same.
Right,
like,
exactly.
You have to look at it in a broader context. How is this affecting young males who watch this? It's like, you know, I don't necessarily buy into all of it, but I've heard it all before. I've heard it all. Like,
these people
are acting like it's something new, like, that she's threatening their livelihood. I'm like, are you kidding me, man?
Like, only gamers doing this shit. I'm like,
it's like people who've never heard of feminism. They're like, oh, my God. Like, what is this? She's threatening, like, what we do. It's like, no, dude. Like, they'll still make your bro games. Don't worry about it, man. Like, it'll be fine.
Because you're going to buy them, and they're going to sell a lot of copies. You'll be fine.
I can't believe how... I mean, these guys are fucking assholes, and they're idiots, but... Just, why do you have to threaten someone over this shit? It's ridiculous. She's not taking away your video games.
Right. No.
And there will still be girls getting abused and, you know, looking all slutty in games. So don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. Jeez, man.
Right, like Bayonetta. She's still around.
Yeah, yeah, look at that. That just came out. She hasn't stopped anything. So,
although some would argue that she's actually very strong female character. Yeah.
That's
good. Yeah, that was so, can we touch on that?
Yeah.
Can we or should we?
go ahead, Chris. Go for
it. Well, I mean, we got into kind of like a little bit of a debate with friend of the show, Francis, over the Polygon Bayonetta review. Mm. I think you can look at it one way, like Francis was, where it was just like, you know, he's spewing moral outrage or whatever. I didn't really view it that way.
Right.
And I do think he talks about the game quite a lot outside of the, you know, the perceived sexism in it. But, I mean, the way that that reviewer, Arthur Geese, like, took it was that there is definitely, like, he definitely took it as objectification. And, you know, Tony read a different article where, right, you know,
I'd written a review of the first Bayonetta where I was like, you know, this is a game about female empowerment.
And I could see that point. Like, her argument was very well thought out. It's just knowing who made it.
Right.
Like the guy,
the fact that it was made by a man.
Well, and the stuff he has said, like, I have a kind of like a list of quotes here.
Oh God. His Twitter feed is like an abomination itself.
This is in regards to the first Bayonetta, but he's like in regards to his favorite scene in the first Bayonetta. Well, if I had to pick one, I'd say it's the scene where Joy first appears in the game with Bayonetta and her imposter getting into a pose battle. That was my way of expressing the feminine notion that to one woman, all other women are enemies. Even women walking by each other will check out what the other is wearing and might smolder a bit with antagonism. Women are scary. That was one quote. This is the director of the game. I believe it's Hideki Kamiya. I strongly feel that women outside should dress like her. Like when she does her hair attack, you'd see the skin. I want women to wear fashion like that. in reference to Devil May Cry, which is a game that he did the original DMC, not the remake, but he did the original Devil May Cry. I wanted to do the sequel. I used to want to do the sequel, but now it's like some other guy's chick. It's not my chick anymore, and my chick got fooled and played all around from all over, so I don't want her anymore. I'm only concentrating on my current chick.
I just follow.
Oh my god!
He keeps kind of going on and on, like with a bunch of other things. I don't know. Here, having heard these comments, it's like, I could definitely see the interpretation. You can interpret art however you want, like that people can, you know, adapt to Bayonetta as a strong, you know, empowering character. Like, I just can't get past him being the guy who made it. Like, and like, no, this dude's kind of pervy. Like, and
well, I didn't love Arthur Geese's review though, because it's like that's a known thing going in. Like, you know, you played Bayonetta 1, sure, right? Like.
He did.
He reviewed
Bayonetta 1.
Well, what do you expect it to be? Not tits and ass? Like, what was it?
No, but yeah. I mean, like, I think he was kind of hoping for maybe it to not be quite as, like, he actually thinks it's more like more accentuated in this one than in the first one.
Well, I think fans of the game are gonna love that.
Right.
I tried a demo of it. It's pretty, like, I could see why people like those types of games, but like, it's just not my type of.
Yeah, I generally, like, I like Devil May Cry. Bayonetta didn't click. I know Tony really liked it.
I did. I thought it was a lot of fun. This is the one game that makes me wishing I had a Wii U.
Dude, like, I tried the demo, and, like, it was fun. It was really fun for what it was, you know?
But on the other end of that, Jeff, because that was one of Francis's things, was like, well, if you didn't like it, like, if you didn't like the first one, like, why would you review the second one? But isn't there like a spot for that? Like that type of like.
Because if you are to convert him, then that really shows that the game has.
Yeah, sure, but it's to me, it's just a.
I'd rather have someone that really doesn't like, or maybe not hates it, but like just has mutual or neutral feelings towards it.
I think everyone's kind of missing that. Like, they still gave it a 7.5, which is a
right.
It's a really good score.
It's not like they got like a 3.5, like he fucking like.
Yeah. No, it's just he went on about it a lot, and I was just kind of like, well, dude, I knew that. Like, anyone who buys Bayonetta 2, I mean, I would imagine, is going to know, like, that's, like a selling point of the game. It's a hot chick fucking run around, like, you know.
Chicks.
I also, knowing, like, having read enough reviews on Polygon, I'm not sure that it would have gotten a better review from anybody on that staff.
Yeah,
He might have been the most like fair towards it because one, he really likes those types of games, and two, like, do you really see like Phil Kohler or Danielle Rodriguez or whatever? Daniela reviewed that Dragon's Crown earlier this was it earlier this year or earlier last year, and she ripped it apart for those things. I don't know if it would have gotten any better review on that site than what it did, even if he had passed it off to somebody else. So, but it's out there if you want to play Bayonetta, I guess. Or is it coming soon?
Yeah, it's like the 27th or something, so it's gonna be out shortly.
Wow, so like they released their embargo was up 2 weeks beforehand. That's crazy. I mean, it got great reviews from most sites. So
yeah, no. So that's a good sign. I like when reviews come out a little bit earlier than anticipated.
Yeah, especially like when we're in the middle of
like Evil Within. So, like they didn't. It was till day one.
Yeah, and you kind of want to know if you should pre-order or something like. Hey, this game, like, I really would have liked to have known, maybe, you know, before Alien, that The Evil Within was actually good.
Sure.
Then maybe I would have waited on Alien.
They're both good, so.
I can only have one, so I went with Alien. I'll probably play The Evil Within when it drops, like, a little bit in price.
Black Friday, baby.
Got Shadow of Mordor lined up for that.
Me too.
Nice.
It's gonna be sweet.
Tony, do we have any other news?
The only other thing I had was the release today of a trailer for a game called Hatred.
Oh, I saw that. I didn't watch the trailer.
Oh. I didn't watch it either. It's a game about being a mass killer where you take the role of a cold-blooded antagonist, who is full of hatred for humanity. It's horror, but here you are the villain.
So dumb.
It's a game about, you know, doing things like the Montreal Massacre. Sounds great. Fantastic. Exactly what we need right now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I saw there was a lot of
a lot of people were like, talking about this.
Yeah,
the creator was saying is like everything's so polite and fancy. Some shit like that. I'm like, dude, you are not helping out our cause,
right?
At all. Like, I put it on Twitter. I'm like, this is pretty much just porn for news outlets. They don't care about the game or what it is or how successful it's going to be, even if it sells 50 copies. They will point to this and they'll be like, this is why the world is so fucked. And even though, like, there's movies like Rampage out there, which is pretty much just this, you know, they will still find a way to fucking put that, you know, as, yep, this is the reason why there's school shootings. And, you know, I don't blame them. If I was, you know, pretty fucked in the head, I think I would look at this and be like, damn, this is awesome.
Hey, I enjoyed Rampage, for what it's worth.
Rampage was actually... Yeah, watch that, too.
What's his name? It was directed by him. I was like, wow, this guy could kind of competently make a movie. Not, you know, it wasn't a great movie or anything. It was basically this dude going on a shooting spree. But
fuck.
Had its moments.
Yeah. I guess the only other thing was that I guess MPD's released and PS4 was the top selling console in September.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, right. But weirdly, and I mean this is probably due to you know the way Microsoft handled it, but Destiny was officially like at retail sold better on Xbox One than it did on PS4. But that might be because of the free game deal and any of the bundled copies of Destiny with PS4s didn't count. So it was a little weird. Like,
interesting.
It's like, yeah, Destiny sold better at retail for Xbox One, but then the PS4 versions of Madden, FIFA, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, and NHL 15 all sold better on PS4. So,
wow, PS4 sounded pretty dominant.
That's what it sounds like.
I wonder if that changes at all with, like, do you think, like, Halo or Sunset Overdrive are big enough to do anything to that or no?
To sales? Like,
so, yeah.
Sunset Overdrive, significantly? No way. No. Not Sunset Overdrive.
Not significantly. But seriously, like, what is the next PS4 exclusive? Can anyone tell me that?
February.
Little Big Planet.
Long time.
But that's also coming on PS3.
Oh, really? Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not a PS4 exclusive. I mean, it's a Sony exclusive, but it's not a PS4 exclusive.
Wait, what game? Yeah,
Little Big Planet 3 is on PS3 and PS4. So I guess it's probably Bloodborne in February.
Oh, that's Sony only?
Yeah.
That'll definitely generate some sales for them. But that's crazy, man. February? It's fucking October. It's 4 months on exclusive stuff. Which is funny. I don't know if this was us that was talking about it, but yeah, that's, you know, I mean, this is a company that kind of talks about it a lot, about how they have the best games, and maybe they play the best on the console, but certainly you're not gaining exclusive-wise. Your money's worth it at the moment.
Well, evidently, like, when... So, Sony got out in front of the MPDs, and they stated that Destiny... like it was their highest, you know, the console that was being played the most on, sure. And it is like, what is it, 5-1, like it's like 80% over or something like that, some crazy number.
PS4,
yeah, where like more than any other game, like on, like people that are playing Destiny. Yeah. On the PS4, like, in the PS4, encompassing, it's, like, 5-1 over other games on the PS4. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's the only game people are playing on.
Right.
Yeah, they don't have...
There's nothing for them to play.
There's other things that are non-exclusive.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
They don't have, like, Titanfall, though, or, like, you know, so, I don't know, anything.
Here's the quote from IGN's write-up. Sony seems to be pleased it associated itself with Bungie's game early on. It's currently being played on PS4 5 times more than any other game.
So weird.
Yeah, right?
Well, that was a long time for Titanfall, and even now, it has that thing where it shows like what your friends have been playing.
Oh, yeah, and that's like Destiny has like more than anybody else on my friends list.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah, it's like right now, it's the next closest game is like Middle Earth, which is less. It's less than half. So it's like I have like 15 friends that have played Destiny, and then 6 friends have played Middle Earth.
Wait, how do you see that? How do you pull that up?
I don't know that update yet, but I have it on my dashboard where if you're right by your friends list on the main hub. It'll say, like, this guy have been playing Destiny, or...
Yeah, did your system update today, Jeff?
My PS4?
No, your Xbox One.
No.
Mine did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
the update's out there. So like if it did update, you should now have like your pins, your home, and then there should be a friends tab instead of just jumping right to the store.
Oh, okay. I've had that for a while now, dude. I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's
like,
great.
So much easier to snap stuff now. It's crazy.
And like, there's the leaderboard.
What I was going to say is just that, you know, it's kind of a slow burn with that system. Like, look at the beginning of the 360. It's so much different than it is now. But I feel like the Xbox One in a year, like, the dashboard is just going to be so intuitive and just easy to use. So they always are updating it. They're always, like, just finding different ways to make it easier. But it seems like PlayStation is just like, well, yeah, the dashboard works, but it just doesn't seem like they're doing this.
I think Sony's kind of like, well, we have more people that have our system than anybody else. Doesn't matter.
Right. Which is, you know, a valid point, you know.
Sure.
Don't try and fix something if it ain't broke. But, I mean, it just seems like Sony just, and it seems like a lot with, like, Japanese companies is that they're kind of just set in their ways and stuck in their ways. Like, look how long it took to change their controller even a little bit. I mean, good lord, that thing was fucking crazy. And, like, even now where people had complaints about the PS3 dashboard, they still just kind of stuck with it. Yeah, it's more integrated with, like, social media and your friends list, but
it's still pretty similar.
Yeah. I mean, they have added things like that made it easier with, like, the party and things like that, but it seems like, okay, they tie a bow on it, call it a day for the next 9 years. You know, Xbox just seems to be kind of more as far as just seeing what people want and you know, kind of putting that stuff out there. And I actually have a friend who's does coding for Microsoft, and he gets so excited about all the new updates and stuff all the time. It's fucking awesome.
Well, I mean, they have to be aggressive. Like,
sure, but I like that. Like, I feel like that's just kind of with American companies. You see that a lot. They see what the market wants, and they kind of give it to them. You know,
I think there's been a huge evolution since November when the Xbox One came out, and now, like, they've definitely made some great strides in making it a better system. But so we have some questions, right?
Do we?
That was it, really.
I think we used up the one question.
Is that it? Well, I got one that came in from my friend John. He asked, is Darksiders 2 worth a download purchase?
Hell yeah.
Isn't it free right now?
Is it?
It's the Xbox.
Am I wrong in this?
What's that?
It's the Xbox Live free game right now. The gold free game on Xbox 360.
Hmm.
Huh. I should probably download that myself. Huh?
God, I don't even have my 360 installed.
Darksiders 2 is really awesome, I think. I don't think I ever beat it, but still. It's like, dude, it's like all the great games mixed together, specifically Zelda and God of War.
I'm, okay, yeah.
What, you disagree?
No, I haven't even played it, so.
It's not as good as any of the games it's imitating, but, like, it's damn fun, especially for free. Like, I'd say it's worth at least fucking, I don't know, I paid 60, I had no regrets. So, yes, do it.
There you go. You know what, you shouldn't download the CW app.
Oh, no.
Pretty
is it
shitty.
Bad?
It's, you would think that, like, so I downloaded Fox Now, which is, you know, the regular Fox app. You can, like, watch, like, four or five of the last of their, like, latest episodes for each of their series. Yeah, the CW is like, if you want to watch episodes, please go to our website. I don't need your app then. Like, I wanted your app so I could just watch the shows right here. I don't need, like, if I wanted to go to the website, I would have gone to the website. So I wanted to kind of check out The Flash, but
right, yeah, I heard it was good. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not a big action or superhero guy, but
I think The Flash is a crappy character, but I'll check it out. We'll see.
Cool.
Oh, and if you like Star Wars, you should probably check out Star Wars Rebels. That's pretty
yeah.
cool.
What's that on?
Disney. It's a cartoon.
Oh.
It's good, though.
Hot dog.
Yeah. All right. Next week, is there anything else besides Fantasia?
I know, I think I saw, I could be wrong, that they're doing a disc release of Season 2 of Walking Dead.
Yes, and the digital release, too. That Season 1's out now.
Civilization Beyond Earth comes out on Friday.
Oh, boy.
Next week.
There we go. We won't be able to talk about that before we record, but...
But the week after, we'll be talking about it a lot.
Items, yes. Baby. Damn
it. I definitely... Chris, did you play through Season 2 of The Walking Dead?
I Hammer. Played through the first two episodes.
Okay. See, I
and then they announced that it was coming to Xbox One and PS4, and I was like, I'll wait.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, I think I played episode one on PS3, and I just kind of fell off, but, like, I heard good things about Season 2, like, so I'll probably get on disc on Xbox One at some point, but just not, probably not next week. I still have two games here that I haven't
right.
beaten, so... And then you got Sunset Overdrive coming up, so that might be another Black Friday one.
God, there's so much. Like, Sunset Overdrive is in 2 weeks. So
gotta, how do we play all these games?
As Tony said, Civilization Beyond Earth is next Friday. Then it's Call of Duty. I don't know if any of you guys are getting that.
I am.
I'm going to get it. Looks
good, man.
A lot of fun.
I think it's going to surprise a lot of people this year. I'm hoping.
Then it's Halo. Then it's Assassin's Creed and Dragon Age and more Assassin's Creed and Far Cry and like, oh my god, so many games.
Smash Brothers.
Oh, Smash Brothers, Captain Toad in December. And yes, Jeff, Captain Toad in December.
I have good feelings about that one.
Oh,
really,
it's gonna be so good.
Yeah.
Oh, god.
Captain Toad, we're gonna make the push.
I love those levels in Mario. I could really see it's the team that made Mario, I want to say. So, yeah.
And what's her, is it Toadette? Is that what I heard? There's a female Toad in Captain Toad.
Oh, game of the year right there.
Right.
Argument done.
It looks like Fez. What the fuck?
Dude, did you play Super Mario 3D World? Come on.
Yeah, bro. I did.
There were levels like that.
The puzzle. They're so good. But you said there's boss battles? I need to find out.
I don't know. Well, I watched the trailer, and it looked like there was, like, I watched it again, actually, the other night. I was trying to show it to my girlfriend. And it was, like, there's, like, he's, like, riding around on, like, a minecart or something, and this, like, dragon pops out of lava. I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. It's, like, a boss battle. But then, like, at the very end of the trailer, you're, like, riding on top of the dragon's head. So I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's boss battle. I don't know. I'm going to say that there's boss battles, goddammit.
We'll go with that.
Like,
and then in Far Cry 4, you can strap explosives onto cats.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to enjoy that. I love Far Cry 3, so... Yeah, it's like... I'm surprised. There's a lot more, like... Going into the fall, I was like, there ain't shit. But now that it's here, I'm like... I kind of... Yeah. I'm like, holy shit, how am I going to have time to play any of this?
Are you guys getting any, like... feelings from any of these games, though, as, like, a front-runner for Game of the Year?
Captain Toad.
Outside of that, Jeff.
Titanfall!
Yeah, no, any of the ones that are still coming. Like,
Far
I'm not
Cry.
Sure.
See,
maybe Far Cry.
I mean, we'll see with Assassin's Creed.
Right. And maybe Dragon
really
Age.
Good.
Like,
oh,
you guys are big into Dragon Age.
I'm gonna be very honest. I was telling my buddy was looking at me making my list the other day for power rankings, and I was like, these two games right here, I could see them going up to the top, and it was Captain Toad and Sunset Overdrive. Like, when I look at Sunset Overdrive, it just looks like pure fun, dude. It's like Tony Hawk mixed with, like, shooting, mixed with, like, platforming. It
mixed
just looks
mixed
like,
with Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, it just looks super fucking fun. Like, all fun games mixed together.
I really do. It's just, any of the games that, like, I played all of Insomniac stuff. Anything that's not been Ratchet hasn't been great, though. So I'm really hoping that this is the one that, like, they capture that fun stuff.
It looks like it, dude. Like,
yeah. Because, like, Resistance and Fuse tried to be serious, and, like, this doesn't look like... This looks goofy.
It's obviously Ratchet just, is. Yeah, it's super goofy.
So, I'm really excited.
It's, like, very colorful, too. Like, it's just... It's like, all my favorite genres, too, mixed together. It's, like, fucking platforming, skateboarding, shooting. Like, I just...
I saw the I don't know if it was the new trailer that's on Xbox One or if it was, like, maybe a commercial on TV, but the guy is, he's like rail grind, like he's grinding along the rail, and it looked just like Ratchet. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be so good.
Yeah, like I'm super excited for that. So, like, I want to try to wrap up at least one of the two horror games I bought before that comes out. So,
well, there you go.
And then I would get Call of Duty to play with y'all or whatever, but. Isn't, like, but Halo, like, right after
Halo's that? The next week, yeah. I'm actually more interested in, like, the... I kind of want to see how the single-player campaign of Call of Duty is.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about the single-player.
I mean, I will play the multiplayer, but, yeah, my multiplayer game for November is definitely Halo, so...
For, like, ever.
Yes.
Like, dude, that's going to be ridiculous.
Oh, dude, I'm going to have so much fun with that. I'm going to be able to keep coming back to it. It's going to be great.
With that amount of maps, it, like, it'll take so long to get old, you know? Like,
it's just going to be great because you're just going to have a smile on your face every time you play one of them. Like, you almost forget how many good maps there were. Like, even Halo 2 just, it had great maps in that one.
And what's so cool about it, too, is, like, that if you do kind of get, like, ah, I'm getting frustrated with the multiplayer, you could just jump into any mission in the single player.
Yeah, you want to play, like, the flying mission at the end of Halo 4? Go for it,
yeah,
or whatever, you know?
So, like, I want to go do the trench run in the Death Star. Like, it'd be great.
Right.
And then you can do it, like, you can probably easily hop with the party you're playing with and do that, you know? Oh, another cool thing, too, about that is I never played...
oh, God.
I never played Halo multiplayer.
Oh, you're in for something special.
What? You? Oh my!
I played. I want to say
it also plays a bit different.
Goddamn scrub, are you?
I played the campaign of the game, I think, but I don't think I ever played.
Did you live in the same era as us? Did you not have, like, friends that you would get fucking your CRT TVs, lug it over with your bulky
consoles? I didn't have that many friends.
Dude, oh God.
And we used to connect our consoles together, like...
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Dude, fucking 8-on-8, just backs behind each other.
Here's what I was doing in that era. I was playing Animal Crossing and fucking Star Fox Adventures and...
You're the worst.
Yeah.
I didn't have an Xbox, so...
Yeah, me neither. I didn't have a PS2. I had just GameCube. Yeah. Like, and it was
this is
fine.
Where you went wrong in your life, sir.
I was
got Xbox. You could have played Mech Assault.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure. I mean, they're definitely great games, and I did play them as soon as I got a 360.
Yeah.
Like the first game I got with my 360 was Gears, and the next game I bought was Halo 1 and Halo 2. So
yeah,
so it was backwards compatible, and then I definitely played some Halo 2 on Xbox Live, but at that point, like. The community, it wasn't dried up, but it was
the experts.
It was hostile. All right, well, we'll be back next week. Fozzie, say goodnight.
Good night.